Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit solaray.com/Astair and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any stage's formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
From The Cut and Gimlet Media, this is The Cut on Tuesdays. I'm your host, Molly Fisher. I have now worn sandals to work 3 days running, which I think means it's real. Spring is here. The good part, as opposed to the cold, wet part. Actual spring. A friend of mine said that this is the time of year she associates with a particular feeling.
The feeling of being single, and it's, you know, May 31st, it's just nice enough to go out, everyone's excited, it's late, you're at home, you just want to go out and flirt and get laid, and the feeling of putting on some music and getting dressed and just heading to the bar knowing that, like, what you want is to, like, take somebody home and then doing it. That satisfaction is so sweet and particular. You're going hunting, you're seeking it out, and it's so pleasurable. Each individual one of those steps, like, it's so fun. And you know, what happens afterwards can be great or not so great, but the energy before the actual interaction is just so special.
The writer Dana Evans gave this annual experience a name, the horny time. According to Dana, the horny time begins with the first day of good weather that actually sticks around and continues for approximately 4 weeks or until the humidity really kicks in. It's the period when everyone's finally wearing fewer clothes. Everyone's remembering that they have bodies and that their bodies want things.
I use the expression like, well, no, that's going to sound so disgusting. But just like, I want that in my mouth. Or like, I want to put my mouth on that for like anything that turns me on. But like, I don't mean it in an oral sex way. I just mean like, I want to put it as close to my face as possible. Like, I want to consume it in all of my senses. That's what it is to be horny to me. It's like, put it on my face, cover myself with it. Like, that's what it is.
This week, we're embracing horny season 2019 and taking a look at what's got us horned up at present. The things that we're furtively Googling. The things that are catching our eyes. Because sources of horniness are almost always fleeting. They're specific and often unexpected and possibly embarrassing looking back. They respect no dignity and obey no reason. And if you ask me to identify the celebrity who perhaps best captures the current horny zeitgeist, that's the horny zeitgeist, not necessarily the beautiful or erotic or seductive zeitgeist. I think I would point to Adam Driver.
When I broke up with my girlfriend from college, so sad. I lost 30 pounds and I couldn't move or talk or get my dick hard. But it also made me go, hey, who am I and what do I want? And I was like, boom, I know who I am. I wanted to switch majors and buy a circular saw, and I promised myself that I'd follow my gut no matter what, and I do what makes me feel good. What makes you feel good?
I have said before and will say again that identifying Adam Driver as a sex symbol is perhaps Lena Dunham's greatest feat of artistic vision, which I don't even mean as an insult. Hannah Horvath may or may not have been the voice of a generation, but she definitely had the taste of a generation when it came to deep-voiced and goofy-faced men. So I assembled a few of Adam Driver's biggest fans to explain his distinctive appeal.
I would say Adam Driver is like the size of my apartment.
That's Hunter Harris, a writer at Vulture, who recently tweeted, I have something Adam can drive.
He looks like a weenie music nerd, like the guy who runs like your like high school radio station or something, like got air pumped into him. And then like he was suddenly like bigger than a Camry.
And that's cut writer Madeline Agler, who has previously said that she wants Adam Driver and his Burn This co-star Kerry Russell to, quote, bang me into the center of the earth.
I think if you had like three Danny DeVitos stacked upon each other, like that would be his height. He reminds me of like a table, like a dining room table full of food. And I'm just like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Just like thank you so buffet. Much. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's the visual descriptor of Adam Driver. He is a buffet of a man.
Yes. His wife, though, is like, I think, normal size.
Who is his wife?
I think her name's Lauren.
You know her name is Lauren.
And I want to be clear, I have nothing but respect for their relationship, and I'm so happy for them, but, like, I would love him to strap me into a baby Bjorn on his chest and take me on walks. And I feel like I would just be tiny, like a little bird. Mm-hmm. Like, people would barely even see me.
And like, just, like, your little limbs flailing on the front of Adam Driver.
I'm not, like, a tiny woman. I'm 5'9". It's rare that I feel dainty personally, but I think that, like, when he held me, I would just be like, oh, my God, I'm impossibly small. Like, this must be what hamsters feel like all the time, cradled in the enormous hands of someone who loves them.
Adam Driver's wife is, in fact, named Joanne, but that's neither here nor there. They met at Juilliard, and she is normal-sized.
The thought of being held in his arms is so relaxing to me. I think it would be like a sensory deprivation chamber.
Like a coffin that you want to be in.
A flesh coffin.
And it's also not like he's like super toned or buff. He's just like large, like has a large stomach.
Just a massive, massive man.
Yeah. And not in a way that you'd expect. Not like the, you know, Zac Efron, Dwayne Johnson sort of tone muscular thing. It's like, no, he is just like a large tree.
Yeah.
That you, I mean, I think that's like, that's a line that people say in movies, like, oh, I want to climb it like a tree. But like, actually, I would accept that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He has the body of someone who like lifts enormous rocks.
Yeah.
And like, that's it.
Yeah. Like the body of a man who prepares and eats a full chicken every day. That's the kind of body he has.
Yeah.
And that's what I like.
Yeah.
Also, in Adam Driver.
Just the phrasing of that super makes it sound like he's going out and, like, killing a chicken. Like, it doesn't make it sound like he's
Is
just
there another way? There's, like, not a version of this story where he just, like, goes to Whole Foods.
No.
Like, that's not what's going on
he's
here.
Like, rotisserie chicken.
Adam Driver, via his rep, politely declined to join us for this conversation. But really, that's fine. There's no shortage of other horny icons in 2019. This is a phenomenon that's larger even than large man Adam Driver.
What have you noticed about the way people talk about being horny online today?
There's just so much thirst online,
yeah.
Which I don't know. I feel like because I spent so much time on Tumblr when I was like in high school, that's just sort of how I experience the internet or just like the things that I like, because that's so the culture that like to be enthusiastic about something is just like to acknowledge everything about it, including its hotness.
Uh-huh.
Part of it too, I think, is that a lot of the people being so horny on the internet are women and culturally, historically, we've not been allowed to express these desires, emotions in this way.
Also, because if you're a guy online being super horny, people are like, what?
Please no, sir. Yeah.
We've seen that. We've seen
exactly.
How
we've
that
had
turns
enough
out.
Of it, actually.
Yeah.
Your time is up.
There's just not a lot of novelty left at this point in men talking about being horny for women. But as soon as you look beyond that stereotypical straight male version of desire, beyond all the cliches of tits and ass, you start to find a new world of possibilities, with different horny experiences and different horny triggers.
The number one thing this summer is large foreheads. Definitely helps if they're, like, slightly receding. I think it's just something about, like, correlation with brain size. Probably not. Probably I just like them, but that's how I justify it. But yeah, a large, like, broad, assertive forehead.
So I started going to a nudist camp, and there's this one dude walking by, and I was like, oh, that is, you know, the hottest guy here, the only guy I would sleep with. And then he walked by again a few hours later, and the difference is he was no longer wearing his cowboy hat, and I was like, oh God, I would never, you know what I mean, like totally not my type. But then a few hours after that, he had put the cowboy back on. And remember, he's not wearing any other clothes, completely naked. And he walks by again wearing the cowboy hat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I would definitely hit. And it was at that point that I realized, like, I have a really weird specific thing where a cowboy hat on anyone will just make them 10 times hotter. Man, woman, non-binary person, fat. Skinny, it does not matter. The cowboy hat does it for me.
So I was at work the other day, and I had a Topo Chico, which is a glass bottle of carbonated water. And I was asking around for a bottle opener, and one of my coworkers grabbed it and swiftly just used his wedding ring to pop the bottle open. And I was inexplicably aroused aggressively.
My first celebrity crush that made me horny is from a movie for, like, preteen girls, and it's called Gold Diggers, The Secret of Bear Mountain. It stars a young Christina Ricci and Anna Chlumsky. They're both dressed incredibly, like, late 90s, so we're talking bowl cuts and flannels, and it's gay as all hell. Okay, there was Backstreet's Back, and there was, like, Quit Playing Games with My Heart, okay? And on both of those songs, Nick Carter's voice would do this thing where it got a little grainy and he sounded a bit like a sort of like an old baby. It was like, I can't even do it, but it was high. It was amazing. Falsetto made me horny. So I'm pretty pregnant. I'm almost 36 weeks pregnant in the last stretch here. When I'm pregnant, I'm horny like a teenager. Like, some women get really hungry and talk a lot about food, but, like, the horniness is something else. Like, that feels like a real appetite. My husband will, like, walk into the room after going on a run or something, and it's just, like, like, my brain just blanks out, and it's, like, pure appetite.
Come From Away is a musical about a plane that was grounded in Newfoundland on 9/11. Which, not horny. None of those words are horny. but I was sitting in the show, and the woman who plays the pilot has this just banging voice, and she just does this growl thing with her voice, and I was like, this is uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortably horny at the Canadian 9/11 musical.
Hearing people talk about their personal horny triggers made me think of the Instagram account Personals. It's a repository of super specific desires in the form of online personal ads. Each one is a window into a particular person's tastes, written out in detail and tossed into the vastness of the internet. A photo editor named Kelly Rakowski started Personals 2 years ago, and these days she gets around 1,000 submissions a month. She originally got the idea when she was doing research for Herstory, the lesbian history Instagram account she runs.
I came across these amazing personal ads written by lesbians in the issues of On Our Backs magazine.
Yeah, what was On Our Backs?
It's a lesbian erotica magazine. The issues I found were from the 80s and 90s. They're super sexy, but also really funny.
She couldn't get enough of the way these women described who they were and what they wanted.
Beautiful Boston Scorpio. Dark, good-looking, marshmallow butch with unpredictable mean streak. yearning for a luscious femme who's not afraid to show she likes it. It's been a long time since someone clawed my back, and I miss it. I'm 33, an ex-hippie turned jock slash construction worker, very strong and sweet. Come on, honey, right?
This was a pre-internet world, and for all kinds of reasons. Finding a luscious femme to claw your back was a lot harder than it is now. Other feminist and lesbian magazines were pushing back against the ways women had always been objectified. But that didn't leave much space for women to have fun objectifying one another. So there was that kind of disapproval to deal with. But of course, there was also the disapproval of the mainstream world, which meant that if you were outside the mainstream, if you were queer, you had to find a new vocabulary to get what you wanted.
There's all these different words you would say to describe, like, if that person was gay or lesbian, and to find out where the club was that was safe, or what kind of sex you're into, what type of masculine, feminine person you're into. You know, there's, like, this history of these code words, and they're just, like, embracing that tradition and taking it off in a new way.
Kelly wanted to translate the spirit of those ads into a new online space for queer people to meet each other. It got its start as an Instagram account, and now she's developing it into an app. But instead of all the selfies you see on most dating sites and apps, personals is all words. Words like this.
Styrian vampire lesbo looking for her Viking angel. Dreaming of a beer-drinking, bosomy, barbarian metal goddess. I'm an angry record store employee and a cat owner. No hippies, no art students.
Under headings like Hobby Store Meet Cute and Horny Perimenopausal Divorcee, there are posts from Le Creuset dog moms and fluid Trekkies seeking barefoot whiskey drinkers or long-haired architects for sweaty topless yard work, middle school makeouts, and monogamous choking only. Horse Thief from Lonesome Dove looking for some more yeehaw reads one. I'll pop the pimples on your back and rim your butthole if you scratch my back and remind me to do my taxes, reads another. That last one went up just a few weeks ago, right on the brink of the horny season. And I hope whoever posted it is having a good spring. Coming up after the break, why someone on the internet wants Taylor Swift to run them over with a tank and throw the body in a wood chipper.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Solaray Supplements. Dealing with invisible discomfort, confusing health issues, wondering, is it just me? Let's talk menstruation, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. And let's talk about them proudly. They're the normal life phases we move through as women. And Solaray delivers support every step of the way with Her Life Stages. This first-of-its-kind comprehensive new supplement line made for women by women offers doctor-formulated solutions at each stage, along with libido support across phases. Find the product for your stage and find one complete, easy-to-take solution you can count on for your most common concerns. The supplements feature clinically studied ingredients and no soy or hormones. Now is the time to exceed your goals, defy expectations, be an unapologetically powerful woman. Own the stage. Visit Solaray.com/Astaire and use code HERLIFE20 to save 20% on any Stages formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to The Cut on Tuesdays. On today's episode, The Cut is horny. And here to talk about what that means are editor-in-chief Stella Bugby and writer Allison P. Davis.
Allison has a big picture of Rick Rubin right above her desk.
Yeah. I do. His beard is so long, and that just, like, really turns me on. Just thinking about, like, maybe getting, like, a mouthful of hair is like... I don't claim to understand the attraction.
What do you think his beard smells like?
Oof. Cedar and maybe, like, last week's soup a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, God.
This, to me, is a perfect case study in horniness. Allison's love of Rick Rubin's beard. It's not about what is conventionally attractive or aesthetically pleasing. As often as not, it's something that leaves you thinking, why? Why the Canadian 9/11 musical? Why the cowboy hat on the man wearing only a cowboy hat? Why the beard that probably smells like old soup?
I just think that the horniness thing is you let yourself be attracted to something you might not otherwise let yourself be attracted to.
Yeah. And it's like also a kind of resourcefulness, because I feel like it's like looking at something that maybe is not obviously appealing or conventionally attractive and being like, you know, actually, I can do something with this. Like, I can see potential here.
And that's true. They're also like very ephemeral, right? Like you're not, I mean, my horniness for Rick Rubin has lasted a long time, which is weird. But for the most part, I feel like these cycles, you know, we move on to the next thing pretty quickly.
You can be like, you're like, oh God, give it to me more, more, more. And then they do like one thing or they show up with one bad outfit.
Yeah.
And you're like,
game over.
Yeah, never mind.
Right? Like Chris Pine, there was a moment where we were all horny for him because he was wearing those weird like linen ensembles. And
I don't
he
think
went
we were all horny
far.
For him. I think okay, we were interested.
I might have been horny for him.
But when he was dressed like Diane Keaton but orange.
Yes. Oh my God. But then he went too far with it. Okay. And I was like, now it's gone.
Well, similarly, like you can be like, totally, somebody's totally counted out. And then they do like one thing.
Yeah. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's true.
Allison is, in fact, at work on a book-length exploration of what it means to be a horny woman, which I'm delighted to announce here on this podcast. Personally, I've spent a lot of time over the last several years enjoying Allison's writing on horniness. It's a beat she's really owned. And over the years, Allison and I have had plenty of opportunities to debate the finer points of all this. For example, whenever you objectify men, you always raise the question, why is this okay? When the same post about a woman might be gross.
Well, men still have all the power.
Yeah.
So it's just funnier. It's not fun when people who have the power make the jokes.
Yeah.
Then they're not funny.
Right.
So I don't know. I think men, it still feels like subversive to objectify men in a way that feels disgusting when you do it to a woman. So I tend to think of it as like a fun way for women to just express their sexuality, period.
Yeah.
Right? So it's less even about objectifying the guy. In fact, the guy isn't even really that important. It's really just an opportunity to be like, I'm into sex still. Sex is fun.
I'm feeling feelings.
And like, guess what? You have to listen to it.
But even if you buy the argument that it's okay to objectify the people on top, and I think generally I do, it's still an argument that only gets you so far. Sometimes you're too angry to make jokes about your own relative lack of power. Too angry to feel like talking about sex at all.
I would say that after Trump was elected, like even leading up to that whole election. So like beginning of 2016 until maybe like about mid 2018. So about a 2-year
the
period.
The long 2016 was a deeply unhorny time.
It was just impossible to get it up. And you know, just it was just a time of absolute like chaos, I think, internally.
Yeah.
It was hard to have fun at all.
It's not like things have gotten better since then. In fact, in plenty of ways, things have probably gotten worse. But somehow, it's like there's been a shift in atmospheric pressure. Horniness is emerging from hibernation.
Even, like, people's willingness to be horny on Twitter, it just sort of happened. It's not like people were like, and now we can do it again.
They were just like,
it's
just organic.
And people were tired and sick of sort of repressing all these things that
it's
have
just been a beautiful
there.
Beautiful flowering. Yeah.
A
bud breaking through the soil for spring.
The bud is breaking through, but the soil that nurtured the bud was all fucked up, and now the flower is weird.
I do like the sense of nihilism that's, like, running through the horniness right now. It makes it a lot darker and more fun.
It's just coming from a place of absolute despair. It's like, there's so much bad stuff, but, like, I guess we'll just be horny.
Right. Yeah. Instead of just saying, like, oh, I'm horny for it, it's like, I want XYZ to, like, spit in my mouth while running me over with a truck. Like, it's gotten so...
Yeah.
Cool.
Timothy Chalamet, crush me under your foot.
Even though he could not.
He could not.
There's another writer at The Cut, Gabriella Paella, who's a close observer of internet behaviors. And earlier this year, she noticed something strange. It really caught her attention during the Golden Globes back in January, Her Twitter feed was overrun with people tweeting things like, "Excuse me while I lie down in the street and wait for Sandra Oh to run me over with a car." People were evidently aching for celebrities to inflict grievous bodily harm.
"I want Rami Malek to run me over with a bus. Run me over, back up, and run me over again, ma'am. Prayer hand emoji." That's Ariana Grande. "This is with Taylor Swift. It's wish she'd run me over with a tank and throw what's left in a wood chipper. XX." Yeah, so it was just these like super violent, fatalistic fantasies about people's favorite celebs.
Why?
Okay, when I first started noticing it, it was more in terms of people that I follow online and people around my age. So I was just like, okay, this is the funny internet thing we're all saying at the moment, where there is some sort of ironic distance. But then I was like, okay, clearly this didn't start here, so I need to find out.
Gabby, as a journalist, wanted to get to the bottom of it. Her first move was to dig up some of the earliest examples. It seemed like they'd started cropping up in boy band fan communities several years back.
So I started reaching out to those people, and finally one woman who is 21 now responded, and she told me that it started out on Tumblr, at which she had been active on since she was 13, which is like not an area of the internet I really go to at all. And she said that this was something she'd been noticing for like about 8-9 years now.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. But what was the rationale? Gabby asked her what the Tumblr teens had been thinking, and the woman wrote back to explain.
"What we're saying when we say we'd like our favorite celebrity to run us over is that we love and admire them so much that they could do something terrible and we'd still love them, which of course isn't literally true. I think that this joke format is used by a lot of stans because it's a more creative way to say how much we love someone rather than just a wholesome, Timothy is amazing." That's Timothy Chalamet,
okay,
who a lot of people want to run them over. And it eventually migrated from like teenage stan Tumblr culture over to Twitter, where it then took, I think, several years to become more mainstream.
So, for the teens who pioneered the form, it was just a fun way of expressing super fandom. But once the grown-ups joined in, it took on a new quality. Combine the unhinged enthusiasm of Tumblr stans with the bleak outlook of adults in 2019, and you get the nihilistic horniness of run me over.
It evokes this really catastrophic level of desire, but, like, no sexual activity is taking place.
Yeah.
Like, Brandi Jensen, who is an editor, she tweeted, she wanted Natalie Dormer to hit her with a hammer. So I reached out for comment, and she said, "I think there's something about how the ideal resolution of a crush is to be completely obliterated by it and suffer no longer under the terrible demands of desire." Mm. And then another writer, Gretchen Felker Martin, told me that everyone started feeling this way when we realized the scales had tipped, the world is doomed, and the best we can hope for is to look at someone beautiful who loves us when we die.
Earlier, I was telling Stella and Allison that being horny was a kind of resourcefulness. It lets you take an object as unpromising as Rick Rubin's beard and transform it into a source of fascination. It makes that very possibly objectively gross beard look electric with possibility. Embracing horniness means embracing that kind of cognitive dissonance. And that's never been more true than in 2019. We're living in a moment when every tweet about Adam Driver is sandwiched between two about climate apocalypse and political collapse. A moment when, in my own personal case, you find yourself asking your coworkers to take a break from writing about abortion rights and come into the studio to talk about what they want to put in their mouths. In the midst of everything else, there's something impressive about the way horniness goes on. In 2019, we're staring into the void and deciding we'll try to hump it. That's it for this week's show. We'll see you next Tuesday. The Cut on Tuesdays is produced by Sarah McVee and Olivia Knapp. Our senior producer is Kimmy Regler. We're edited by Stella Bugbee and Lynn Levy. Mixing is by Emma Munger. Our music is by Emma Munger and Haley Shaw. Our theme song is Play It Right by Sylvan Esso. That's Amelia Meath, Nick Sanborn, Molly Sarley, and Alexandra Sauser-Monig. Special thanks to Angela Trimber, Amanda Arnold, Rachel Ward, and Phoebe Unterman. And if you like the show, tell a friend to listen. The Cut on Tuesdays is a production of Gimlet Media and The Cut.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. you can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.